The Harchang economy still ran on what was essentially slave labor. The empire had long established labor-intensive ways of doing things, and its innately reactionary conservatism and ultra-orthodox adherence to the proscriptions of Zhuozheng left it strongly disinclined to make changes. Its sheer size and population had allowed its economy to dominate Western Howard and Haven for the last century and a half, despite its inherent inefficiency, however, and when the church began its massive armament programs, the number of Harchangese foundries had suggested the empire would provide at least a third, and more probably half, of all the required artillery. In fact, however, those plans had capsized when all those small foundries turned out to be so much less productive than expected. Against that sort of backdrop, the way in which Thirsk and Duke Fern had managed to improve the output of Dolerin guns was one of the genuine bright spots for the church. And given how badly cannon production continued to lag in both Harchang and the Temple Lands, it made a lot of sense to sail as many as possible of the church's still unarmed galleons to Garath Bay. With Claw Island now firmly in Thirsk's hands, the voyage would be both shorter and far more secure than trying to send them to any other destination. It would also just happen to put the better part of 200 galleons under the church's best admiral in an ideal position to strike at Chisholm or Coruscant from the east. And since the Imperial Carisian Navy had only about 97 galleons of its own after Sir Gwilym Manthier's losses in the Harchang Narrows, redeploying to meet that threat was going to be difficult. Especially since, as Brian's just been kind enough to point out, we still have to worry about the frigging Desnarians, too, Merlin thought disgustedly. Duke Coleman and Admiral Jarrus reminded Merlin rather forcibly of an old Terran general named McClellan. They were pretty fair managers, all things considered. Despite ongoing problems with their own artillery production, they'd managed to get around 70 galleons launched, armed, and more or less manned. It was a significant accomplishment, particularly given the fact that there'd been no real Desnarian shipbuilding industry before the church's massive program. Of course, there'd been an enormous amount of graft. Some of the ships weren't all that well built, and Desnarian guns had a tendency to blow up more often than most, but 70-plus galleons were still 70-plus galleons. The good news, and the main reason Coleman and Jarrus made Merlin think about McClellan, was that, having built their navy, they were disinclined to have anything unfortunate happen to it. What Duncan Yearley and HMS Destiny had done to Commodore Wellar clearly loomed large in their thinking, and especially in Baron Jarrus's. In fact, he'd refused to venture outside of the Gulf of Jarrus' sheltered waters to train his crews, which suited Karras just fine. But if they redeployed enough strength to protect Chisholm and Coruscant against an admiral as capable as Thirsk, even Jarrus might find it within himself to operate with a modicum of aggressiveness. And if that happened... "We're going to have to make some deep cuts in home waters, Brian, no matter what the Desnarians may be thinking about doing," Caleb said finally. "Thirsk is just too damn good. If he comes at Chisholm with 200 galleons, we need a lot more than Sharpfield has in the area now to stop him." Lock Island nodded heavily. Sir Luke Coleman, the Earl of Sharpfield, had been the commanding officer of the Royal Chisholmian Navy. As such, he was now the second-ranking officer after Lock Island himself in the Imperial Carisian Navy. That rank, plus his intimate familiarity with Chisholmian waters, made him the logical, indeed the only, choice to command the squadrons protecting Charlian's kingdom. As a peacetime officer, he'd been outstanding, especially with his determination to root out corruption at all levels, and no one doubted his personal courage. Yet all his combat experience was with galleys. He'd never commanded even a single galleon in action. Now he was in command of an entire fleet of them, and the thought of giving him his first experience with it outnumbered 6 or 7 to 1 wasn't particularly appealing.
"It would help if we had someone in Chisholm or Coruscant with a comm," Charlian pointed out. "If Sir Luke or Admiral Mondeer had access to the Snarks, they could combine their strength into a single force that would have a far better chance of matching Thirsk."
It was Merlin's turn to nod. Garth Ralston, the Earl of Mondeer, had been Sharpfield's Emeraldian equivalent. He was younger than Sharpfield, without as many years of experience at sea, but he'd proven he was a fighter at Darkos Sound, and years of service under Prince Narmon had given him a degree of political acumen which the bluff, apolitical Sharpfield completely lacked. That was why he'd been chosen to command squadrons covering Coruscant.
"Unfortunately, the only flag officer we could send would be you, Dominic," Lock Island said.
Which, Caleb interrupted in a slightly odd, almost amused tone, "would be politically awkward at this particular moment."
"Awkward but survivable, Your Majesty," Rockpoint said respectfully. "I know Gorja wants me right where I am when we finally have him announce he's coming over, but I can think of a half dozen other officers who could hold down this command as well as I can. Cody Niles comes to mind, among others."
"I'm sure Admiral Niles could handle your naval duties perfectly adequately, my lord," Narmon put in. "The problem is that all Gorge's calculations are built around having you covering Thole Bay to make sure no nasty Desnarians come sailing in to attack him when the Church finds out he's changing sides. He's nervous enough already, and I don't think he shares our Navy's contempt for Jarrus, which, given how much closer he is to Desnair than we are, probably isn't all that unreasonable when you come down to it. It's obvious he's developed enough faith in you to feel confident, but if we reorganize everything on the fly, I think there's at least a fair chance he'll back off at the last moment."